Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA. Joining us from New York City, back from Boston. It's Thursday afternoon. Sorry.
He's coming back
from Boston, where he was at the Nets Celtics, where the Celtics just bee slapped the Nets on Wednesday night. It's Tim Bontemps.
Celtics got all their reverse regression done all at once. How are we doing?
There was no end of game officiating controversy other than the refusal to make it a running clock was the only controversy.
That is correct. That would have been, I'll tell you what, the best part about that game is it ended in under 2 hours. There were no fouls, there were no turnovers, and there were a lot of shots made. So there was no stoppages for just about anything.
Joining us from Dallas, where he's been frozen in with the Detroit Pistons for days after getting back from Salt Lake City, Span McMahon.
Howdy, partners. The Mavericks are trying to convince the Pistons just to leave Bojan Bogdanović here, but they don't seem willing to to donate him to the cause.
I don't understand why Detroit couldn't get out. Why didn't they just leave after the game?
Apparently, they had some like mechanical issues post game, and then if you didn't get out that night,
I understand that.
These last couple days, or they should be able to head on home today. Pelicans should be able to come on down. Hey, Pelicans, I'm sure they're thrilled. So we've lost 9 straight, flying in day of. This is just awesome.
Well, they've been in Denver, right? That's where they've been.
Yes.
I saw that the Grizzlies, that same storm that hit Dallas, moved through Memphis. Now the game will be over by the time you hear this, but Memphis got delayed coming out of Memphis last night because of the weather there. And I saw that they didn't land in Cleveland until like 3:30 a.m. for their back to back. Now,
Grizzlies are used to 3:30 a.m., you know, still being up. So I don't know if that's too much of a disadvantage.
Yeah, well, now that I've said that, they'll probably womp Cleveland at home. But I did look and see what time that plane touched down, and it was well after 3 a.m. So anyway, trade deadline is 1 week from now we're talking 6 days from the time the pod is posting. I just want to kind of go around the league and take a look at some teams, what they've got on their plate as they go into this deadline. This deadline could end up being very quiet with only a couple of role players moved around that just basically sets the table for the summer. Or it could be interesting where we see a couple of significant players traded to contenders. We just don't know. And by the way, I don't think the league knows either. The only place to start with the trade deadline, at least where we're at here, is the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are 2-3 on their 7-game Western trip. I think their remaining games are at Houston and at Memphis, but they're 2-3. It's not turning around for them. And the whole league is in a circle around the Raptors watching what they're going to do. And Bontemps, you were in Toronto a month ago. You were writing about this exact same thing. You were foreseeing that the Raptors are going to control the deadline, and it has only been magnified. And so, I mean, the Raptors could trade 4 players by next week. They could trade 1 player. They could trade 2 players. They could trade, some combination. They could trade 4 players. To me, the whole deadline pivots on the Raptors. You have a good familiarity with what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, we're really in the same place we've been in since the start of January. The Raptors were going to wait until they got back from this road trip to decide what they were going to do. They were going to take it down to the wire, and then they were going to decide probably at 2:30 next week, next Thursday afternoon, what they're going to do one way or the other. I think, you know, they're still a game and a half out of 10th with this play-in tournament. It does, you know, I think if you look at Masai Ujiri's history, he has tended to be pretty conservative in these types of situations. They haven't made, you know, they were in lots of discussions for Kyle Lowry, famously, a few years ago, ended up not trading him at the deadline when Philly and the Lakers and Miami were all trying to get him then. They ended up getting him to Miami later in a sign of trade in the offseason. It wouldn't be stunning to me if a similar thing plays out here, where there's all this talk about what the Raptors are going to do and they wind up doing nothing. But certainly, when you talk about the possibility for this deadline to be fairly mundane or very interesting, there's no question that if the Raptors really decide to push their chips into the middle of the table with guys like Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent, they do have the ability to make this a pretty blockbuster trade deadline. But I think it's more likely that, like you said, they end up being on the smaller end of that scale, where maybe one of the guards, Gary Trent or Fred VanVleet, ends up getting moved, as they're both potential unrestricted free agents in a few months. But I just, based off Toronto's history and sort of the way they've approached all this stuff, I don't think we're going to get, I would guess we're not going to get the blockbuster massive trades that everybody who's sort of waiting for excitement at the deadline would want to see.
McMahon, a key thing to me is, I've talked to people in the league in the last 48 hours. Mm-hmm. If the Raptors move, because Woj talked last week about the possibility of 3 first-round picks for Gala, Goji, Anunoby. But there's some belief that if the Raptors decide to sell, that they may not prioritize draft picks, that they might prioritize young players, because mm-hmm. they have Scotty Barnes in-house. I would be stunned if they trade Siakam. But
yes,
I think that's the least likely thing to be traded. And if you have Siakam,
I would agree with that too.
So if they're going to trade OG, I think there's an auction that develops, and I think you got two different types of bidders: teams that are willing to offer draft picks, and teams that can offer young players, McMahon. And that would be first question: do the Raptors sell? Second question: what kind of sale is it going to be?
Well, and I think that there's also teams that might be able to give you some of both, right?
Right.
And I've talked a lot about how great a fit I think that Anunoby could be in Memphis. You know, how much they have a lot of young players, right? How much do the Raptors like guys like Zaire Williams, Santi Aldama, you know, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia? You know, I don't know. New Orleans, you know, I mean, how much do they've got this a lot of young talent there?
This is the one. New Orleans is the one. Okay.
And both those teams also have, they have both, I believe, one extra pick to play with plus all of their own. So, like I said, there can be a combination type of deal with those teams.
I think I agree with you. Siakam would be very surprising. Barnes is obviously completely off the limits. Other than that, to me, like, are you paying Fred VanVleet? Because it's either get something now. I guess you could argue that there could be an opportunity for you to do a sign and trade, you know, but you know, you're hearing a lot of murmurs about, I'll just go ahead and say, you're hearing a lot of murmurs about, hey, the Orlando Magic are willing to throw a lot of money his way this summer, and they don't need help in a sign and trade. That, you know, they've got cap space.
And a need for a point guard.
So the Clippers have, you know, we talked about this on the hit YouTube show, Howdy Partners, this week, where Wendy got those fingers firing and was my most high profile guest yet. No disrespect to the USWB, the urine soaked wet blanket, Tim Bontemps, but the Clippers do have some young talent. You know, if they're talking about, hey, you know, Terrence Mann, BJ Boston, those type of players, you know, Luke Kennard, make some salary work. They do have an extra pick. If they want to be aggressive going after VanVleet, they can. But Anunoby's really the one where if the Raptors are looking to kind of renovate that roster and get a haul in return around Siakam and Barnes, I think Anunoby's the one where you're really going to get a bidding award.
All right, I'm going to list the teams that I think would consider, do we all have that word right? Consider a bid for Anunoby if he were available. Let's say that again. Consider if. I'm going to start with New Orleans because they have picks. They have their own picks. They have the Lakers pick and swap this year. I should say they don't have the Lakers pick. They have the swap this year. They have a future Lakers pick as well, but they can trade the swap. they also have some really nice young players from Trey Murphy, Dyson Daniels, Herb Jones. They have Devontae Graham, who they could use as ballast in a trade. They have Jackson Hayes, who I think potentially could be available in a trade. They can offer a whole bunch of different stuff. Now, what they're willing to offer, that's a different story.
Right.
But I think that if Toronto were to decide to trade Anunoby, I think Bobby Webster would be on the phone with David Griffin. That would be one of the first calls. They probably.
Yeah. You laid it out right there. Dyson Daniels, the Lakers swap. That, to me, if Toronto is looking to do an OG deal, that's the kind of deal that has the kind of upside that Toronto, I think, is going to look at. Like, I don't see, to me, Memphis has not shown any interest in making the kind of trade it would take to get them a guy like OG Anunoby. With the amount of picks they have to give up, the amount of young players they have to give up, we've seen Memphis time and again pass on every one of these kind of moves and instead stick to the, we're going to draft, we're going to develop, we're going to have our, you know, we're going to replace guys like Anthony Melton with younger guys behind him, not going to spend money. And also, if you look at that package of guys, like, their young guys are nice. Their picks are, have some limited upside for a while, given where that team is headed. That New Orleans, you've got a potential, a top 10 pick in Dyson Daniels in his rookie year. You've got a Lakers swap that, you know, even though the Lakers are playing better, they've certainly got a pretty good chance of being a lottery pick. That those are the kind of premium assets that I think Toronto's going to be looking at over, if I had to guess, if they do a trade, over quantity from other teams.
Also, Memphis has kind of let it be known that, you know, they love their core. They don't want to harm it. And I kind of get it.
But we're talking about doing something outside of their core. They're, Bane's off limits. Jackson's off limits. Obviously, Ja's off limits. I'm talking about young guys who are fringe.
I think they get outbid. I think they get outbid in that scenario. Okay.
What about Phoenix?
Phoenix is interesting. Phoenix owns all their picks going forward. They could put in Cam Johnson potentially. That's a guy who, he's 26, 27, needs a contract, but he's ready made to go in there and play. Would fit, frankly, fit nicely. But I'm not, that to me would be one of those things where, is it picks or players? Because the core of Phoenix's offer would probably be multiple future first round picks. The Knicks are interesting here in an Anunoby discussion. They have all those first rounders. They also have a couple of attractive young players, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Grimes,
Obi Toppin. You
know, Obi Toppin.
I'm just going to say it would make no sense for the Knicks to trade for OG Anunoby to me. I mean, that to me is a lesser version of what they passed on doing this summer.
I agree. Donovan Mitchell. I sort of just have to cover him because I think that they would have a package. I think they would, can be done.
Are you counting Cam Reddish in the intriguing young players conversation?
I don't know. I think Cam Reddish will get Cam Reddish hasn't seen the court in weeks. So yeah, I think he's going to
Cam Reddish is up. Somewhere. Cam Reddish is high up there on the list of guys that I think we'll be seeing in a new destination by the time we record this podcast next week.
Really going on a limb there.
Also, pay attention to the Portland Trailblazers. Last week I had Pelton on. They had just wrapped up this really underwhelming homestand where they had a losing record, 4-5 in 9 games. Now on the record with the Athletic, Jeremy Grant has said he turned down the extension offer from the Blazers. He's going to wait till the end of the year. He's outperformed probably what that is. But they are, from all the folks I'm talking to in the league, the Portland is absolutely in a buying mode. They are attempting to add pieces. I've heard them attached to some sort of role-playing bench players that they're interested in. But if Anunoby became available, I think they would be very interested. And you'd probably start an offer there with Shadon Sharp, their lottery pick that they got out of Kentucky. Again, I don't know if they could get outbid, but they have picks. And
that's a pretty attractive chip to start with. You might be trading a guy who ends up playing in multiple All-Star games. He has that kind of talent. It's projection and potential, but he's awfully talented.
That
is the kind of premium piece that I think if you see OG get traded, you're going to see. Those I think are the kinds of pieces you're going to be talking about. I mean, remember, it's worth pointing out, Masai's history tends to be, he's a lot like Danny Ainge. It tends to be, if a deal gets done, it's one he feels really good about. Right. So I don't, especially since OG's not going to be a free agent this summer, he's going to be extension eligible. It's not like they have to do something now. I think you're going to, if they move him, they know there's a lot of interest in him. They're going to have to really be bowled over to do a trade, and that's going to require some pretty significant stuff going back to the Raptors.
Am I forgetting about any teams that you could see that if OG is there would be frontline
bidders? I mean, the Mavericks are sniffing around. I think it would be extremely difficult for them to get into that conversation, given the pieces that they have. You know, the Mavericks are going to explore everything, but I think the most likely scenario is they either stand pat or operate around the fringes. I think they're having conversations now that might set up talks this summer, that type of thing.
Contemps, let me toss you one more.
Okay.
What about the Warriors?
I don't see how the Warriors would be able to get a trade done for OG Anunoby.
Wiseman, Kuminga.
Like I said, I don't see how the Warriors are going to get a trade done for OG Anunoby. Okay. I just said they need premium assets back. Those are very depreciated. I mean, Kuminga's had a pretty good second year, but that's not the same level as those other guys.
Fair enough.
The one thing real quick, just to point out, is OG is maybe the most portable player in the league. He could fit on literally any team. Not, I'm talking about sub superstar category. Obviously you put,
you're talking about the most adaptable plug and play type.
Yeah. Obviously, any team you put Giannis or KD or whatever, teams are going to find ways to make those guys work on any team. But you talk about guys just below that level, you put OG Anunoby on any team, he fits. So if some team we haven't talked about, if they end up moving him, comes out of the woodwork and goes after him, it's because you could drop him in anywhere and he's going to be really effective, because the stuff he does fits on any team. He's big, he can play any, you know, most several positions across the board. So there's a reason why there's so much interest in him. He could get dropped in on any team and it would make a lot of sense.
Also, there is some mystery. I don't want to make it sound like it's that big of a deal, but about how bad OG's wrist injury is. He fell on his wrist on this West Coast trip. They said they ruled him out for the rest of the trip. He did have an MRI. I know Bontemps, you went down on your wrist at the White House last year. You know,
it did.
I think you had a wrist strain that you were down for weeks, if I remember
correctly. It definitely hurt for a while. I mean,
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but probably.
I think OG's tougher than Bontemps, but Bontemps is more willing to work leading up to the trade deadline when there's uncertainty involved.
Yeah.
As far as Van Vliet goes, you mentioned Orlando. I think the Clippers. We mentioned briefly the Clippers. The Clippers, just in general, they have a lot of tradable pieces. I don't know if they don't have the premium asset, but when you're trading for Van Vliet, you're trading for him and the need to pay him.
Or you're trading for him as a rental, and then that's like, that's tough.
OG has just recently changed agents. He has left his agency.
Fred.
I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. I apologize.
Yes.
Fred has recently left.
Don't need to get aggregated with incorrect information.
Sorry. Thank you. No, thank you. I have a problem getting aggregated enough as it is. Fred has recently changed agents. He left his previous agency. There is a strong rumor in the league about where he's going to go. I'm not going to say it because I don't need to get aggregated, but it is to a big name agent. But that is relevant when the team is considering what he's going to do in free agency if he bypasses his player option. And considering he has already turned down, again, on the record by his own admission, an extension that averages $28 million a year, you know that if you're trading for him, you are also trading for the need to pay him, and that will affect many things. The Clippers are a team that they don't maybe have that premium young asset. There is some interest in Brandon Boston. There is some interest in Luke Kennard because he led the league in 3-point shooting last year. He's one of the leaders in 3-point shooting this year. Unfortunately, he's just got a number of injury concerns, but there is some desire for guys who can shoot. They have Terrence Mann, as you mentioned, McMahon. The Clippers are hunting around for an upgraded point guard. Van Vliet would be hitting a homer there. They've also been attached to Mike Conley. They've also been attached to Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue, he'd be great.
I don't think he's got a lot of juice left. You think John Wall's on the downside? Boy, oh boy.
That's why in my head, Kyle Lowry's like a coach on the floor. When I was thinking of Kyle Lowry, I said
similar frame as Tyronn Lue these days.
Lowry with slightly more decorated career than Ty Lue, although Ty Lue was a champion. I think there's a decent chance the Clippers are going to do something Bonten. So I just don't know if it's going to be with the Raptors.
Yeah. I mean, the Clippers are always active, right? I think they've made transactions in just about every window with this current regime. They're always aggressive. They're always trying to go after it. You know, and they do have some interesting young guys. Man mentioned BJ Boston. We got Jason Preston, who's an interesting second round pick guard, bigger point guard, played well at the G League showcase last month. I guess in December now. They've got Terrence Mann, who teams have interest in. They've got a first round pick. You know, they've got some stuff they could package together to go get somebody. They also have a lot of salaries they could just put together, you know.
Jackson's expiring. He would right. go out one of these deals almost certainly. Yeah.
You know, you've got Robert Covington, you've got Kennard, you've got Marcus Morris, you've got, you know, these various guys that they could put in some combination in deals with the lower salary younger players to go get, you know, what are these point guards, whether it's Mike Conley or Fred or Kyle Lowry or, you know, I mean, do they like D'Angelo Russell? I don't know. But, you know, there's a possibility they could go after one of those guys. There's a possibility they could go after a bunch of different stuff. You see them casting their nets in a lot of different directions. Always. You saw last year, they went and got Robert Covington and Norm Powell and, you know, stepped up in salary going forward. They certainly could do that again. You know, I think they're one of the teams. You ask me who's definitely going to make a move between now and next week, I would say the Clippers are very high on the list, even if it's just a minor one. I'll be very surprised if they have the same team next Friday that they do right now.
And I do think they're going to get a starting point guard. And, you know, the three vets that we mentioned, I think each one of those guys would be really good fits there because, look, Paul George and Kawhi will have the ball a lot, but they want somebody who can, you know, kind of organize the offense and also play off the ball. Van Vliet has proven he can do that. Lowry has proven he can do that with Kawhi Leonard on a championship team. Mike Conley has certainly proven that he can do that. Again, Lowry's under contract for next year. It's a pretty big number.
Conley's As Kyle put under, it recently, he's got a nice contract.
Yes. Conley's under contract for next year. It's 14 mil guaranteed, 24 mil. If you keep him, if you're trading for Mike Conley, you're not trading to give him $14 million to walk away. I think that actually might even be a reason to trade for him. The Van Vliet thing, I think you're going to have to pay probably pretty close to max if this Orlando smoke is real. Because, you know, he ain't taking a steep discount. So do you trade for him saying, hey, we're willing to do that, understanding that that luxury tax bill is already high and will skyrocket? Or are you saying, hey, maybe it's a rental, but we've got Kawhi, we've got Paul George, we've got a window that we haven't been able to capitalize on yet, and we need to capitalize on, and decide that route would even be worth it.
All right, we're going to talk about the Jazz next because McMahon was just out there. Do we have trivia, Bontemps, this week, or did we move past
we
that?
Do. On... Okay. No, we do. But let's talk about the Jazz first because I have to look it up. So I have the question, but I have to pull it up. So let's talk about the Jazz first.
So you can't expect Bontemps to be prepared.
No, it's McMahon, from our guy Matt Williams specifically. Oh no, I have it right here. Our guy Matt Williams specifically reached out to me this week with the trivia question ahead of time.
Happy birthday, like, to Stats Williams. Am I correct? And just had a birthday.
He just had a birthday. That's right. Happy birthday to our guy.
So did Brian Windy Windhorse. He just had his Donovan Mitchell birthday.
That's right.
It's not appropriate to bring up those kind of numbers.
Happy birthday, Ryan, also.
Last year was your Pistol Pete birthday. I had my IT department put together a nice little Photoshop.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for a Hoop Collective Trivia.
What's the trivia question, Montemps?
So the trivia question is, since we've been on a LeBron James kick lately with all of his statistical milestones, he and Russell Westbrook are now both in the top 10 in assists all time after Russ got in the top 10 recently. One of these past couple games, he moved into the top 10 all time, and LeBron is now fourth. What was the last time in NBA history that two of the top 10 players in total assists were on the same team?
I was hoping you were going to say scoring, and it was going to be easy because it was Carmelo and LeBron last year.
That's right. That's right.
Top 10 in assists on the same.
That's a really good question.
So wait, they were already in the top 10?
Well, he just said we're all three in the top.
So it's like now, like Russell Westbrook and LeBron are in the top 10. They're on the same team.
Okay. So it's not guys who ended up in the top 10 on the same.
No. So not it's ended not, up.
I can't go Steve Nash, Jason Kidd long before either
ended up. No. Not wound up there, but were in it at the time they were teammates.
All right. I'm going to cheat and look at the top 10 assists list real quick.
Then you're going to get it.
You're gonna get it.
You sure as hell ain't. So I mean, like, we gotta get through this.
Well, you're right about that.
if you're gonna look at the list first, that's just an automatic forfeit. But I'll let you look at the list.
All right. Oh, crap. Let me
at least try it first.
Top two. You have any hints, Bontemps?
I don't have any hints because I think I'll give it away if I give any hints. I got this one right away, and Stats was not pleased when I got it.
Okay. Was Mark Jackson part of this duo? Yes.
This looks like a yes to me.
Okay. Mark Jackson.
That is a yes.
Because that's a good one because he was a sort of a journeyman. He was around. He was moving around at the end of his
Mark career. Jackson is one of the two people. That's how I got the answer. I thought of Mark Jackson and got the answer.
Now I'm trying to think where he was late career.
Well, he was in Indiana.
Was it like Mark Jackson?
Was Reggie top 10?
And Rod Strickland?
It was not Mark Jackson or Rod Strickland. Don't look up Mark Jackson's career because you will get it if you look it up.
What about Reggie Miller and Mark Jackson?
Reggie Miller was in the top 10 in another category, pal.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
He was on the receiving end of the assists.
I know.
Reggie Miller didn't have 10 assists in his whole career.
I know. He played for 20 years, though. I thought
much
maybe
less top 10.
That's one of the worst guesses in the history of trivia.
Well, he played for 20 years.
Yeah, and he never passed the ball. No,
Gary Payton never ended up on the same team as Mark Jackson, did he?
No, sir.
All right, I am cheating. This is going to go on too long. Mark Jackson ended up on the Utah Jazz. I totally forgotten that.
I would never have remembered that.
But wait, yeah, Stockton was on that team. There you go. All right, I cheated and I got it.
You could have told us the Jazz, and I don't think we would have gotten the other guy besides Stockton, to be honest with you, Bontemps.
Exactly. I thought
people might remember that because there was a lot of drama with Mark Jackson and John Stockton at the time when he was there. So
I didn't remember that.
Listen,
yeah. Well, speaking of the Jazz, you were just out there, McMahon. What is your intelligence that you brought back? I don't think I'm talking outside of school when I said that you got an audience with Danny Ainge, Ryan Smith, and Justin Zanuck, GM, president, and owner.
I did. Sat right up there in that. They've got like this nice little owner suite. The players get to take over post game. Went sat upstairs with them. And
they calling it the Delta Center yet, or is that not till next year?
That kicks in next year, but they're certainly
very
proud. No,
I think it kicks in like right after the All-Star game.
Okay, whenever. I think it kicks in this year. I don't know. Like, that's honestly, if you want to ask Ryan Smith about all their sponsorships, he will be happy to tell you all about it. I can assure you that. They're very proud of that. But, hey, they're bringing back the, I forget what it's called, the Fan Jam for All-Star Week. I'll tell you all about that, too. But, hey.
Jam Fest. Yeah, they're very excited about that.
Jam Session.
Jam Session. Jam Session. Cool. Right.
That thing. Travis Scott was there sitting right next to Ryan Smith. Not while I was talking to him, but during the games.
Of course not.
Courtside.
Of course not.
Anyways, so they're very open about, yeah, we are 100% open for business, and like rubbing their hands together, understand that there is a void for sellers and are, you know, happy to fill that void for the right price, of course. You know, Justin Zanuck and old trader Danny, they ain't taking discounts. Like they're, you know, there will be no fire sales. Like if guys get traded, it is for value. And there's three guys who are untouchable, is probably too strong a word, but certainly they've made it clear they're not interested in discussing Lauri Markkanen, who should be named an all-star by the time this pod comes out. Walker Kessler, who, if he has a lot more performances like he did last night against the Raptors, they're going to have to clear space.
Seven blocks.
Yes, like 17, 14, and 7. Sleeper rookie of the year runner-up candidate. I think Banchero is going to be the clear guy. And then they also like Ochai Agbaji. I hope I didn't botch his name. I tend to do that. Anyways, other than that, wide open. We've talked about Conley. You know, hey, you want to call about Jordan Clarkson? They're happy to discuss that. Beasley Vanderbilt, we're hearing a lot of discussion about those two guys as a package. I'll say this, though. The Jazz aren't opposed to even being buyers, you know, to using some of their draft capital if it's the right situation, if it's a guy who they think can help them in 25 and 26. You know, they have interest in Dorian Finney-Smith, for example. I don't think, nobody on either side I've talked to thinks that one's going to work out. But, you know, I think that certainly the most likely scenario is they are sellers. And you know, Wendy, as we talked about on the hit YouTube show, Howdy Partners, they are likely to make, you know, like I would certainly anticipate if you put the over under 1.5 guys traded, I'd take the over on that.
I might take the under only because if you look at, you know, Danny Ainge is sort of famous for being involved in a lot of trade talks and then not making trades, and he like
he made a few this summer.
he did make a few this summer, but what was the common theme in those trades this summer was he got the value he wanted, and it was a very good price for the Jazz. And he like
aside from Bogdanovich, which that was essentially, hey, we're gonna get something done by training camp, and they kind of took what they can get. Got Kelly Olynyk, who they like, who also could be rerouted somewhere by the deadline.
That was sort of a
Here's why I'll take the over. I think it's very likely that Beasley and Vanderbilt are traded, and I think it's pretty likely that those guys are traded as a package. And you know, let's just say one of the rumors that we've heard. Are you guys willing to? Well, you can aggregate me. One of the rumors that we've heard is the what? It just when
just,
you're looking at,
I was just laughing. I was just laughing.
Right. When you're looking at the trade market, like you have to look at connections. And hey, they've had a lot of conversations with the New York Knicks, certainly going back to last summer. You know, those guys have each other's phone numbers. Gerson Rosas, who's kind of in the Justin Zanuck role for the Knicks, where he's handling most of the, you know, day-to-day trade discussions. He is the guy who traded for Malik Beasley, gave Beasley the contract that he's on right now, team option for next year. You know, gave Jared Vanderbilt the contract he's on, which is a, you know, sub $5 million deal.
Traded for Jared Vanderbilt also from Denver, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. That's right. He was in that deal too. So certainly
they've been traded together twice already.
Right. Let's go for the triple crown. You know, that's a possibility. How willing are the Knicks to part with draft capital? Well, there's a big difference between their own picks and then like the bottom end of what they have, like the picks that have been passed from the Rockets to the Thunder to the Knicks. Now those heavily protected picks that, but I'm just saying there could be something there. Wendy, you mentioned Beasley as a potential fit in Cleveland.
There's no closer organization in terms of trades right now than the Jazz and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Those couple of trade lovers have consummated many a deal.
Whoa,
I think it's five trades in the last 4 years.
All that imagery.
You know,
The Hoop Collective, now sponsored by, I'm not going to choose the pill company.
We're a Disney podcast.
Yes.
In some of those movies.
There's not a natural trade that I see Beasley for. LeVert doesn't really make a ton of sense, but it's possible a three-team trade could get involved there. Beasley, the Cavs are in bad need of a floor stretching threat, which is why they've been attached to Tim Hardaway as well. Beasley takes 6, 7, 8 threes just warming up. And the Cavs just don't have that kind of threat right now. He's not the perfect fit, but when all else fails, just assume the Cavs and the Jazz might make a deal, because I think they've made a deal on around the deadline like 3 of the last 4 years. And it's been
plus a summer.
Plus obviously the Donovan trade. I don't think that's as likely, but I also have heard Vanderbilt in separate deals. Vanderbilt's a backup player. He plays hard.
Energy guy. Right. Yeah. He's really an undersized five energy guy, but there's interest in him. Interest in Beasley. Olynyk is Bontemps, you mentioned plug and play. He's certainly not at the level of a Ananobi, totally different type of player, but in terms of like a big who can shoot, who's a good passer, screener, kind of, keeps things, kind of the oil in an engine offensively. There'll be interest in him. I think Clarkson, as far as the potential guys that they're discussing, I think Clarkson probably would get the most in return. We'll see what happens. I would be very surprised if the Jazz aren't one of the more active teams, though.
Yeah, so I think whether it's over or under 1.5, would you take the over on one player traded, Bontemps?
That's the same question as one is 1.5.
No, I would say it's not. If it was the same as 1.5, it wouldn't be. It would be. All right, forget about it. All right.
The only time Bontemps hadn't been willing to yap. It was like a brief moment of silence from Bontemps that was refreshing.
I just think the Jazz are one of the most likely teams to sell in a market where we don't have a lot of sellers identified. We know that. So I want to just keep an eye on a situation in Denver that's developing right now. Look, Denver looks great. They're playing at home tonight. We'll see what the Warriors put out there tonight after they went to overtime last night. They might have another home win by the time this comes out. They've been one of the best home teams in the league, but we've got a little situation with Bones Highland, who is one of the more interesting young guards in the league. Has been like so many draft picks that Tim Connelly made when he was president of the Nuggets. They just draft really, really well. They don't bat 1,000, but they've gotten a lot of key players late in the draft. And of course, Jokic was a grand slam.
Tim Connelly drafts really well for the Nuggets in the past and the Jazz.
Hey, that's true, because
Gobert, Mitchell, Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler was a good pick. That was a good pick. Connelly drafted him. He traded him a little later, but clearly a good pick. But anyway, Bones Highland, a little bit at odds with coaching staff there.
Oh, wow. We are down playing. Bones Highland's getting traded. It's a matter of where and for what.
I don't want to make it a total assumption, but the situation with him and Michael Malone has been degrading. He left the game last week and went to the locker room. It's still not 100% clear what happened there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And, this is a guy on his rookie contract. I've heard 3 or 4 teams already that have interest, whether or not they can find a deal. Remember, the Nuggets, he plays a key role for them. But remember, the Nuggets, they're trying to win the whole thing. So they have to be mindful that if they make a move with a rotation player, that they get a rotation player back that it goes to that goal. So that's why I'm not 100% sure, but
And the other thing is, you say a rotation player. Is he going to be a rotation player come playoff time? Are they going to trust him
right
to be
now,
on the floor come
the situation
playoff time?
Is bad. But I can't assume the way something is in January is going to be the same in April. I mean, I've been around long enough to know that.
Bones is a super fun player, fellow A-10 guy, went to VCU, but he's also shooting 39.9% from the field as a score first point guard. That's not exactly a great defensive player. So I would say if Denver can turn him into a guy that can really help them in the playoffs and be a guy that they feel good about being in their rotation or get them something that could turn into something that could get them that sort of player, I think that would make a lot of sense for Denver. That's just my opinion on him.
And he's also played 11 or fewer minutes in four of his last eight games. A couple of those games are, was certainly a little bit mysterious, as where his, it wasn't DNP CD. It was DPM, didn't play much. And then was it CD, PD player decision? Like it got a little murky there. Things got a little murky. Yeah,
I don't want to get too
last
out of
night
my
against the Pelicans,
here, but
sub 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 43 seconds. It would be very surprising if he is not traded. And my understanding is part of the reason things got haywire is because, it got out there, hey, they're shopping him. And as a young, maybe not the most mature guy in the world, sensitive, like the trade rumors affect guys different ways. And I think especially young players, like he feels maybe betrayed, they're giving up on him. And so that complicates the situation. But I think Bones gets traded, and I'm going to throw one potential scenario out there. And this is more dot connecting than reporting. But you mentioned Tim Connelly draft, right? Tim Connelly obviously likes the guy. And the word is that the Nuggets have been looking for like a bigger wing defender. But the other pretty significant
who isn't looking
exactly
for a big wing defender.
And especially on a small salary, that's a lot easier said than done. Like that's part of the thing. Like we can talk about Matisse Thybulle maybe, but when you're talking about a small salary like Bones, it's that complicates the trade process just because it's hard to find the money match, especially for a team that's in the tax. So Tim Connelly now, hey, do the Nuggets want to deal with him? How do things go? Whatever, you're trying to win a championship. Naz Reid would absolutely be a huge addition to the Nuggets, who to me, their biggest rotation question is, what the hell are we doing in the playoffs for the 8 or 10, 12 minutes per game that the Joker needs to rest? And Naz Reid, who, last
DeAndre
night had
Jordan.
It's just a way for McMahon to get DeAndre Jordan into the pod yet again.
I just wanted to point out their depth chart. That was all. I was just being responsible.
By the way, DeAndre Jordan, if it is a Matisse Thybulle thing, he would I think there's a decent chance he'd be reuniting with Doc in Philly as part of that deal. But anyways, Naz Reid, it's an interesting situation with him. And there's a lot of noise about him because of this in Minnesota, where he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. And he has played well this year with Cat going down. He's played more than anticipated. Gobert's missed some time. When he starts, he's averaging like 17 and 7.5 rebounds, something like that. Played great in a win last night against the Warriors. I think he's getting at least full mid-level money, if not more, this summer. If you're Minnesota
they've been trying to. I think they've been talking about an extension during the season.
It's very hard for me to see why this trade makes sense for Minnesota at this point.
Well, I think the reason it makes sense is because how much you willing to pay to keep Naz Reid. And if you're not willing to pay what it's going to take, which I would, if I'm him, I need a pretty significant number to be willing to sign an extension right now, because I like the idea of exploring free agency coming off what he's done this season. Then you're getting a guy that Connelly obviously really likes. It's a proven, he's proven that he can score in this league. I get it.
My only thing is Minnesota's actually finally started to catch a rhythm. They had a nice comeback over the Warriors on Wednesday night. I think they're 12-5 since the new year, something like that. I think they've got the third best record in the league since the new year. It's actually like getting better there. Anthony Edwards is putting some stuff together. They're in a good place. There's less focus on Gobert. I mean, like, it's not hunky-dory, to use that phrase. I got mocked for using that phrase a few weeks ago. I'll use it again. But, I mean, they're moving in the right direction there. So, I don't know if they touch that roster, quite frankly, with Karl Towns, you know, on the horizon coming back.
Well, and, yeah, I'm saying you're hearing a lot of smoke about Naz Reid. Philly's another team that apparently has some significant interest.
I think
there.
Philly is the way you think, Bontemps. I think, you know, McMahon mentioned Matisse Thybulle. He's, you know, he's sort of reduced. I mean, he was the first guy off the bench last year. He was their sixth man, and they're so much deeper now. They barely use him. I've heard him attached to three or four different teams. The salary is low, so we're not talking about a significant thing. But, you know, Philly is 21-5. They've been pretty much the most impressive team in the East for six, seven weeks now.
Not pretty much the most impressive. If I'm the Sixers,
straw poll, can't wait till the next straw poll.
Woo, oh, baby.
It's gonna not be the only one.
It's gonna be
there will be some one. There will be some jackasses uttered after that one. And by the way, it is the BS poll, the Bontemp straw poll. We need to work on the branding here.
If I was the Sixers, and this is just me talking, I'd be doing everything I could to go all in this year. I think they have a real chance to win. I think if they had a difference-making player, they become, to me, the favorites possibly to win the title. And after they beat Denver the other day and Jokic and Embiid went at it, Embiid had a dominant performance and won, I have never heard him talk about his team the way he did after that game. He is really excited. He, I think, believes in this group. I think that group believes in itself as a whole. You see, James Harden is playing great. He has settled into a really nice role there. They've got Tyrese Maxey coming off the bench. He's accepted that role. De'Anthony Melton bounces that starting lineup out. You saw PJ Tucker play great in that game, really shut down Jokic, got up into him, totally messed up Denver's durable handoff stuff in the second half of that game. If I was Philly and I could add a difference-making piece, I'd be really aggressively trying to do it. The real thought for the past month or two has been the Sixers are right now just a little bit over the tax line. The main thought has been Philly's probably just going to get under the tax line, and that's more or less what they're going to do. Because I think they're like maybe $1 million or $1.5 million over. But if I was the Sixers, I'd be pretty aggressively trying to get better because this thing is wide open and they've got a real shot. And I think their players think they have a real shot and they have some ammunition to go do something if they want to try to get aggressive. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I'd be trying to do it.
What's the Daryl Morey quote that's sort of become well-known?
5% thing.
What was it?
If you have a 5% chance to win a championship, basically you go for it.
They've got a 5% chance.
And yeah, so this Daryl Morey's MO is more absolutely to go for it. And again, it's similar situation in the Nuggets. Like probably the biggest glaring hole in your roster, I'm sorry, in your rotation, is also the least important spot. That's because you've got an MVP candidate at center. But
I don't even think that's a hole because PJ Tucker, I think, will be playing backup center in the playoffs when it comes down to it. But I'd be talking about it. To me, I'm talking about like trying to trade for guys in the top seven rotation spots in the playoffs, like the move Boston made last year, getting Derek White. Obviously, Derek White's not going to trade to Philly, but I mean, like that kind of addition. You add a difference making player like that to this Philly roster to upgrade what they've got. I think you've got to put them right at the top of any list of teams that can win if they do so. So that they're, I'm really interested with the way they've played the past several weeks to see how aggressive they are over the next week. Cause I think I think to me, they've impressed me to the point where I've moved them up a bit from where I thought they were. And I think they've got a real shot and I'll be anxious to see, to your point, Tim, Daryl's always never been shy about being aggressive. Let's see how aggressive he is over the next week to try to make this team better.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
And what about, you mentioned Boston. What about Boston?
I think the most likely move the Celtics make is to move Danilo Gallinari and save money. I don't know if they're even going to do that, but if they just traded him to, say, Indiana for some seconds, it would save them tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I just noticed they haven't paid the tax in a decade or like 11 years. They're paying $60 million in tax. No, they're doing well. They're doing well. But
if they just have to be San Antonio for some seconds at
Indiana's still got about $10 million, and they got Gallo was traded to San Antonio. Right. Yeah. So he'd have to, I mean, he could in theory get rerouted somewhere and ended up in San Antonio, but they could only trade him to Indiana or somewhere else. But they do.
The one thing Boston has is that they have some guys that they could sort of cobble together. They could take Peyton Pritchard and Blake Griffin and Sam Hauser, like put those three players together. And you'd be able to get the money up to a where you could make an offer with a future pick.
Yeah, but that's still not very much money. I mean,
you could take Gallinari and Peyton Pritchard and even get closer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think there's a chance. I mean, look, you know, maybe they try to add, you know, some sort of supporting piece, but I think it's more likely that they just roll with what they've got. I know they've scuffled a little bit.
They could use another big man.
I guess. I mean, people keep talking about that, but to me,
Let me just rephrase that. I should stop messing around. I hear Boston is looking for another big man.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, there's been some talk about that, and I could see some merit in it. At the same time, I don't really see these guys expending any sort of significant asset to add, you know, a big man, you know, trading a first round pick for a big man or something. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's not a big on the market that if they trade a pick for, they're going to be able to replace what Robert Williams does if he gets hurt. So to me, True. Maybe they add a depth piece, but Luke Kornet, I think, has been fine. Their top eight is really good. They feel really good about their team. I think they'd have to get something pretty significant on the table to look to move more picks to upgrade from where they're at.
Could the Mavs interest them in a slightly used Christian Wood, a guy who I know the Celtics sniffed around about when he was on the Rockets?
I think it would be tough to get them to do that. I just don't, because then you're talking about probably trading one of their main rotation players. I just don't see them doing something like that. I mean, maybe they will, but.
So the one kind of significant name that we haven't talked about is Bojan Bogdanović from the Pistons. This is a guy who I couldn't believe we got traded for what he got traded for.
Yeah.
Considering the hauls that they got for Gobert and Donovan, that they just didn't wait to see what he, because if he had played this well in Utah, like I think they could have done better. So
well, like anyway, McMahon said, though, there were certain circumstances there that they were adhering to. So
I understand, but it's not a written law of the United States of America. So
it's the one non value trade that the Jazz have made in the Danny Ainge era.
Well, congrats to the,
I'm not sure Danny Ainge would agree with that though. Cause he really likes Kelly Olynyk.
Look, Kelly Olynyk is a nice player. He's not as valuable. Like the Jazz ain't, you know, And nobody's given up a first round pick for Kelly Olynyk. And I think like that's certainly a possibility for Bogdanović. But like it sounds like the Pistons are like, hey, we want to be competitive next year. Cade's coming back. We're getting a high lottery pick. We need Boyan knocking down jump shots, scoring an efficient 20 points per game, and being a vet in the locker room.
They also signed him to a very palatable and team-friendly extension, which some people thought in the league, they're like, oh, they just signed him to that to make his value more because he's a classic guy that if you try to trade for, he's headed to unrestricted free agency, you might not be able to keep him. And people thought it was a maneuver to make him more valuable in trade. But why? Why does that have to be the case? Also, I just am not hearing his name out there. I certainly don't have the market cornered on trade rumor stuff, but I just haven't heard his name. So I know that that's like the name that a lot, you know, like the Laker fans have been dying for months. And
oh, the Mavericks fans have been dying for him too, but
Cleveland fans have been dying for him. I'm like, you're not getting him. I do Cleveland radio. You're not, they ask me every week, you're not getting Boyan Bogdanović. Forget about it. But
what a humble brag. I do Cleveland radio.
Yes, celebrity that we deal with. AM. I'm a member of their team. Thank you very much.
I guess if I can plug the hit show, hit YouTube,
we do
show,
no, partners, I was going to say,
you can get that one in.
I was going to say, there's nobody promoting anything on this pod. So God forbid.
Do we forget anything? I'm sure we did.
I'm trying to, I think we wanted to maybe hit on the Hawks coming off of a blowout win in Phoenix.
Phoenix had won 6 out of 7, looking like they had some traction.
Devin Booker back next week.
Coming back, I think, Tuesday, Woj said. And then the here Hawks in Brooklyn just smacked them. When I went to bed, it was 35 points. The 35-point spread when I went to bed.
The absence of Dwayne Washington Jr. was really felt in that game.
Hey, the Suns have done some decent end of roster maneuvers. Damian Lee is one of the leading league leaders in 3-point shooting. They got, nobody else wanted him. But that's neither here nor there. Atlanta has been hard to read. I've said that I've actually felt that they've played a little bit better. John Collins has been in so many trade rumors, but so many of the trade rumors are three-team trades. I wish I had a share of Apple stock for every time I've heard a different three-team iteration of a John Collins trade rumor over the last 17 months. And it's very, I mean, like he might get traded next week, but it's very, very hard for me to seriously take, you know, to seriously think it's going to happen because I've been through the ringer on this a number of times. I don't know how you feel. I know that Utah, you were saying earlier that Utah may buy. That's a player that has been attached to Utah.
I think that one is unlikely because I think Utah would say, hey, we like the player, but not at that salary for that, you know, like it's not a good contract. So, hey, and we can give you pieces that can help you now. Again, we can talk about, we mentioned all the guys, the pick's got the pick or whatever the draft capital is has to go from Atlanta to Utah. I think that is difficult. Obviously,
no way. Atlanta's looking for a pick for Collins.
Exactly. Sending so a pick that, that's why I think it's going to be extremely difficult. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for them to get that kind of value.
That does,
for
by the way,
Collins.
30-second timeout. That does sound like a Danny Ainge position to take.
100%.
All right, we'll take John Collins and a first.
Yes.
What? Like, I mean, that sounds like a position he would take.
The Jazz are certainly going to be leaning even harder into the typical Danny Ainge position, which is I'm making a trade when it's good for me.
And squeeze, because if
the Jazz make no trades, doesn't really matter. They have a billion picks already. They got all these young guys. They're doing just fine.
Although the one thing I will say, they were talking about just how boring the draft was. I've actually got a story coming out, and that's what I lead with. Danny Ainge was just so bored in the draft. They didn't have, you know, they had no picks. They had nothing going on. They're over the cap. Like Danny Ainge if he just wanted to chill in a rocking chair, he could have done that. He could go play golf. He still does play golf a lot of days, but he could go play golf every, like, he's ready for, he's about the action right now.
He likes doing stuff, but again, only on his terms. He ain't just going to do it for the sake of doing it.
But back to Collins. Hey, if it was easy to get value for Collins on that contract, it would have been done several trade cycles ago. Let's just be honest, right? And the other thing that I have heard is that obviously there's been a regime change in Atlanta, Landry Fields. Not sure if he's the youngest GM in the league, but certainly one of them, you know, not too far removed from being a player, you know, can relate to players in a way that few, if any, other GMs in the league can. And I've heard there might be some like, hey, man, like, you know, we still like love him up a little bit. Like, hey, you know, it can still work here. You know, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. I've heard that's a possibility as they continue to take calls on him.
Well, might be a possibility out of necessity. So
a couple of midseason regime changes in Atlanta, and also Matt Ishbia apparently days away from getting control of the Suns. So that's kind of hard to.
And that puts James Jones in a very interesting position. And I'm not going to sit here and
say. Not the James Jones that I know. I'm going to tell you something about the James Jones.
Okay.
The James Jones that I know is going to do what he wants to do, and he's not going to get pushed around, or he's not going to get made to hurry up. And if Matt Ishbia wants to have a different front office there at some point, okay. But the James Jones that I know is very rooted in what he intends to do. Mm. And Monty Williams is the same way. They are on the same wavelength there. So look, if the owner comes in and says, we're going to do something, obviously the owner has the team, but I don't think James Jones is going to just, that's not who he is. That's not who he is. That's not the team that he built. So I mean, I'm sure the Suns are looking at things to improve. They have been for a while. They're in a
they might want to eventually trade Jay Crowder instead of you know.
I mean, I cannot fathom via them the Pony not Express. Trading Jay Crowder and ending up having to buy him out. But you know, the favorite for weeks there has been Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if at the buzzer and there's no three team trade, they just take what Milwaukee's offering. Maybe that's what Milwaukee isn't improving their offer. At least doesn't seem like they are. So they did allow Jay Crowder to go meet with the Bucks. Jay Crowder hasn't played a game since May. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be because James Jones is being pushed around. That's my read on the situation from the outside.
Well, I'm just saying that the new owner. I think there's some uncertainty moving forward there. And then just naturally, like, dude, Chris Paul's starting to, like, hey, is he, you know, tap back into the fountain of youth? Has he gotten some, you know, whatever? But, like, you talk about a team in a win-now situation, that window's closing. So without even the ownership change.
I mean, the Chris Paul window is closing, but Devin Booker, one thing that's happened in the last few weeks is Miles Bridges has been unlocked a little bit. I don't think he's headed to be, you know, a perennial all-star, but without Booker, they moved Miles Bridges from being a stand in the corner player to a wing player. And he's done some stuff. I don't think he's going to be crossing dudes over and pulling up, but he's like 6'7" with really long arms and he creates separation with it and he can make shots. And, you know, again, they're not going anywhere unless they got Booker being Booker, but like, they might have actually found some stuff with Miles Bridges. That is, I'm not writing off the Suns at all. What, no matter what they do at the deadline, the West is too uncertain.
Not Miles Bridges.
What'd you say?
Not Miles Bridges. The other Bridges.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm not getting enough rest.
It's okay.
It's just a sign of age.
It is a sign of age. The big Donovan Mitchell sketch. You know what it is? That's exactly what it is.
That's right.
What a happy birthday for Brian.
All right.
All that hair product you use, does it include some you know, just for men?
No, why do you say that?
I'm just asking. I know you're a big hair product guy. I'm just asking.
No, if it was up to me, I would wear my hair like you.
You used to back in your more aerodynamic days.
I know. It would be much better. I wish I didn't have to use hair products. No, I will age gracefully. The gray is coming. There's no stopping it. It's not a good look to dye your hair when you're in your 40s, I don't think. But anyway,
I know some people who do it in their 60s.
So do I. All right. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you,
man. On Stairmaster.
Thank you to Bruce and Jackson, our producers. Trade deadline next week. We'll be doing it. God, by the way, next Thursday could be the day LeBron breaks the record and the trade deadline. And there's a 5-hour show. NBA Today has a 5-hour show that we'll all be involved in for the trade deadline. You think I'm babbling and making mistakes and thinking Ty Lue's going to play point guard for the Clippers? No, wait till that show. Holy Moses. It's going to be ugly. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.
Adios, amigos.